Alright, Ephesians chapter 5, we want to look at times and seasons. Does time matter in our Christian walk? Does it matter? When you say, doesn't matter, time. And sometimes, you know, because of some texts of scripture, let me show you a few of them. Galatians chapter 4, where you have the concept of times and seasons or moons or celebration of events. Verse 9, where Paul says, "But now after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the beggarly elements, weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage?" Then it says, "You observe days, months, times, and years." And so people assume that what he's saying there is anything that has to do with time can be of God, like I told you a couple of times, sometimes we run into the danger of saying what a text is not saying. By that, you know, the times and months he's referring to there, in fact, some versions rightly put it as observing the moon, actually. And that has to do with idol practices. It's not saying that you shouldn't, I mean, if you follow this pattern, it means that you can't even celebrate your birthday. Yeah, that's really not what he's saying. So does it matter? And I know I started teaching on, was that Sunday? Yeah. And I want to build on that and expatiate it a bit more and get you, you know, I've been talking about times and seasons for a while. And now it's very important in the way the Christian character grows. So this cannot be a proof text of not having time. Is there time? Is there time to the things of God? We have to make that observation. So Ephesians chapter 5, where we began on Sunday. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. See then, why did he say see then? Because verse 14, he says, "Wherefore he saith, wherefore what?" Verse 13, "All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, whatsoever doth make manifest is light." And Paul uses the Genesis background by 13, that's Genesis 1:3. "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Somehow in the mind, that's Isaiah 60 verse 1, not necessarily a direct quote, but it's, then verse 15. "See then that you walk circumspectly," which means that the light given to us by Jesus is meant for us to walk. Of course, light in scripture, the first mention of light, Genesis 1:3, is order, right? Order and time. Okay? So which means that the light we have in Christ makes us walk orderly. And it says circumspectly, not as fools. The word akribos there in the Greek actually means carefully. You walk carefully. You walk with a sense of purpose. You walk with, is the way, you know, there's a difference between where you read after lectures and you read for an exam. Who knows the difference? After lecture, you just read and, but after an exam, and before an exam, in fact, those are the times that you are reading, then you sleep, and you are dreaming that the exam has taken place. It's really on your mind. You are reading consciously. At that point, you are very conscious. So Paul says we have to walk not as fools. So it's very possible for a believer to be a fool, which means he doesn't think through. But as wise, then it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. Now, this word redeeming, right, is the word exogorazo in the Greek. It's A-X-O. G-O-R-A-Z-O. Now, we're going to get back to a few things. I just want to set the tone. I believe next week I'll give you some more background. Now, this word is used four times in the New Testament, just four times. And what it means, first of all, it is used by Paul, Galatians 3:13, where he says, Christ has redeemed us from. So, exogorazo means to redeem you from something, to save you from something. Okay? To save you from something. To save you, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Then he says, because everyone that hangs upon a tree became a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles who receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So notice, it redeemed from to. So, exogorazo is to redeem from to. Then you look at same Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Okay, so you have to redeem from. So which means that I must know what I'm redeemed from. So I'm redeemed from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. I'm redeemed from the same thing, Galatians 4:5. So the idea of redemption is, I do argue with those who use the phrase, I have some slight challenges with the Greek, where the Greek says it's about the marketplace, because definitely this is an Old Testament understanding, where the major word is the word gal, which means that something that is yours, you go take it back. So it's used for next of kin, where God goes to Egypt to redeem Israel, is because he's become next of kin covenant with Abraham, so whatever belongs to Abraham is his own. So he goes to redeem Israel from Egypt, okay? But the point really is, usually you have, there are different words that talk about paying a price. But I say oftentimes that the concept of paying a price is Greco-Roman, more than it is Jewish. Jewish is really to put value on something. And so redemption could be as simple as, I see someone, and then everybody is saying, oh, this thing is a house. And they say, this house is 4 million naira. So I said, no. So it's rated amongst houses that are 4 million. I said, no. This house is $400 million. I said, Then I put the money down because I see its worth. So what have I done? I placed value. Then I've taken it out of, you know, a situation. Or, should I say, a group of people. So, that's a bigger word of the word redeemed. Okay? Now, so if I'm talking about redeemed, I'm saying from what? So, we said, now usually, that phrase will deal with from a loss. I'm looking at the Strong's Concordance here. It says from a loss to rescue from a loss. Okay, so there's a loss situation, and you've had maybe your company, you guys were doing something, and then the money was, you know, yeah, then you quickly put up some plans, and then you redeem. There's a loss, an impending loss, or there's a loss already. No, they're about to lose. Then you make sure that the loss is out, and then you salvage the situation. It also means to save. Then another word, it means to take opportunity. To take opportunity. Now, that phrase is from, there are two words, there's the ek, that's the word out, ek, and the word agorazo. Agorazo is used for purchase. To purchase something, to buy. And that's the Greek. I'm just compelled to teach in the Greek now. To buy. That's what I just mentioned, to buy something. Some, I think it's vines, I'm not sure, but if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. I think it's vines that says from a market of slaves. That's usually where some of this concept of God is paying a price, the devil is taking, something like that, you know, Jesus paying a price to God. Very wrong premise. It's more value and to save the situation. So you have, to a market where you have agorazo, and that agorazo is used 30 times. The word marketplace is agora. It's even a common word today. A-G-O-R-A. So you now have, try and look at the few words that will come to your mind when you say redeemed is value. So you don't redeem something that is not of value, right? It has to have value. Okay? Then there must be something you are redeeming it from. Okay? Is that clear? Good. So, there's value, there's where you are taking it from or redeeming it from. So she used 30 times, now that's the word agorazo. And in 1 Corinthians 6:20, Paul says you are bought with a price. Bought with a price. Now, oftentimes the question is, who did God pay to? So that's why I said this. That's where the Greek is a bit sloppy. So it has to be God places a value on us. Do you understand that? Your physical body, you know, you feel nothing, and God is saying, nope. You feel, and the physical body could have been sick, worn out, and all sorts. Somebody asked me, he said, it's one of the guys that came for one of our meetings, said, can God dwell in a transgender body? I said, of course. Controversial, I know, but he will. And he wants a transgender to be whatever, but so he bought with a price. So you think your body is rubbish, sick, and he says, well, I'm going to stay there. So he's not taking your body from anywhere, he's just saving it from another kind of use. Okay, so he places value on it. Since you are bought with a price, then in 1 Corinthians again, chapter 7, 23, Paul says you are bought with a price. Be ye not the servants of men. You are bought with a price. That is, there's a value on you. Then 2 Peter 2:1, I just gave you three. There are 30 uses. He says the Lord who bought them. So you have the Lord who bought them. So which means the essence of redeemed is to put value. To put value on you, to place value on you. So now, you know, we've understood redemption from the point of, I'm precious to God. I'm no longer a slave to sin. You know, what other songs do we sing? Songs of value. Help me out. Lord, you're beautiful. No, that doesn't. Other songs of value where you say, we are a chosen generation. You know, we say because God has already accepted me. And that's cool. And he's his very own. And we see from point of God has seen us as precious, which is true. And because he values us. Sometimes he sees us not the way we see ourselves. And there are people that need to do that. In fact, somebody was preaching and I said, what? I wasn't trying to listen to the person. But, you know all these people that put things on the wall, staff status. And they think rows and rows and rows. So okay, let me just hear it. I mean, to discern the Lord's body. What's going on in the body? And this guy said, a preacher, he said, some of you, even before your salvation, first of all, go and restore your self-esteem. Wow. I kind of felt that was some revelation. So before God gives you who you are, you find out who you are first from a therapist. Therapist say, think. Think about yourself. You know, Corazin Boom, was it Corazin Boom, yeah? She said she went to, she was part of all these Christian Science people. That they sit down and imagine. So she was sick. So she'll go to the therapy sessions. They'll say, think. Lillian B. Yeoman, sorry. Not quite simple. The sickness is not there. So you don't. It's not there. It's not there. It's not there. It's not there. Imagine yourself without sickness. Imagine yourself. So she did. So she'll pay them. After a while, she felt nothing was changing. So, when she finished the imagine yourself, she now said, think that I've given you the money. Imagine yourself with my money. You know, people like that. It was years ago. My dad took us to one man. The man was meant to be a parapsychologist. So he said he has high powers. So the man said he was going to give me a helper to teach me things. So I was already irritated. So he said, now I am in my first year in the secondary school. So he says, the helper is going to help me. He had his own tongues. I can see them here. That they teach their members. So he said, I should write whatever I didn't know before. Oh, from one boy. So I just said, what is agriculture? Agriculture is, he said, wow. No, those are the first things you cram in school. So I was really disappointed. Apart from the fact that, you know, I played one game and the man fell for it. I was so upset. I tried to make my parents fall for a trap. So when he took me to the man, that the man was going to reveal, that the man was going to tell us what to do, I was shaking that the man would know that I actually played a game. The man said, it's true. Yeah. All right, so the thing is, you know, you have esteem of yourself, who you are. Yeah, I remember when I first knew that I was God's righteousness, or I was made righteous by the blood of Jesus. You know, my mind couldn't comprehend it. I said, how? You know, I learned it first from John Osteen, not Pastor Joel, Pastor John. And then I thought, wow. You know, that's so you could see the value God placed on. And every time you look at yourself and say, well, I don't see myself the way people see me. I see myself the way God. I see myself. I was looking for a song. I think of you. I think of me, sorry. Just as you think of me, Lord, your word. All right, so good. That's a redemption thinking, right? That God placed value on you. Now, look at Ephesians 5. You there? So let's use the word redemption. To what? To place value. Uh-huh. To treat special. What about that? That's okay. To rescue from loss. Is that okay? Does it make sense? So let's go for it. Ephesians 5, 16. Let's go. You do the amplify. So let's go. Rescue. No, place value. All right, what else? Uh-huh. Rescue from waste. Huh? All right. So, you have to rescue time from wasting. Praise the Lord. Don't say, he makes all things beautiful in his time, in an ugly way. So I say, brother, why have you not done this? He makes all things beautiful. You know, that's not what the song is supposed to mean. So here Paul is saying, rescue the time from waste. Praise the Lord. So that means we're instructed not to waste time. Rescue it. Put value on time. Is that okay? You put value on time? You put value on it. You should learn to value time. Time is precious. It's not in your hands. You value it. So, Paul, look at Colossians chapter 4. Learning something? Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. Now, this is actually from verse 1. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God will open unto us the door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may, look at it, that's a prayer, make it manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom towards them that are without. It flows together. Redeeming the time. Same words. Exogorazo. Redeeming the time. Why? Now Paul says because the days are evil. He switches the word there. The word time is the word kairos. Kairos is often used for opportunity. Opportunity. Praise the Lord. Opportunity. Now, opportunity is the content of time. I'm going to explain that a bit more. It's a content of time. There are two words in the Greek. The word chronos. Chronos is like Sunday, Monday, 2024. That's chronos for you. 2024 is after 2023, right? Sunday is after Saturday. Monday is after Sunday. That's chronos, the way time is arranged. You can't say now that today I'm 25 years old. Last year I was 26. Eh? That's illogical. It has to be 24 before 25, then 26. That's specific time. But now, what did you do? Now, you know how you fill your CV? Someone came to me and said, there's a gap in my CV. I said, what do you mean? He said, there are like 6 years. I said, oh yeah. He said, I've not done anything. He's out of job. He's looking for a job. So I'm going to ask him. So I have LLOD, CCTV, OMPID. Yes, yes. I work with this organization. I was the head of this one. Yes, between 1986 to 1996. Very well. 1996 to 2006, I was the senior manager of social and social. I acquired PPPPID. Okay. That's 2006 to 2016. Well, I went for a program. It was a PhD. Then I did for 10 years. Yes, I know it's a PhD. PhD. So, okay, good. So now, 2016 to 2023. I'm alive. Ooh, oh, very good. Go out and celebrate. So while you have chronos, you can't find what you did with the kairos. Right? Time is there, but there's nothing in the time. No seasons. Because you can't just say, I'm alive. I'm alive. You say, yeah. I'm alive. Because if you sleep, you wake up, chronos. So when you woke up, what did you do? I slept back again. What do you do? Then I ate. Then I drank. Then I ate and drank and ate and drank and I ate. You say, oh, that's chronos, normal. What did you do? I was waiting for the moment. You say, wow, that's good for you. You know, have you seen a football game and they're writing the statistics? They don't say the match. They'll say corner kicks, right? Goals, red cards, activity, right? They'll say ball possession, if that matters. They'll say, because something has to have happened in the game. You can't just say, I'm alive. You know, which is good. Being alive is what gives you the time. So, kairos is what was it used for? What is the time for? Imagine someone saying that, you know, how old are you? Say, I'm 50 years old. We say, oh, thank you very much. You are 50 years old. And then you say, let me see something. You're 50 years old. They say, please, can you just help us switch on the light there? The guy goes, 50 years old. You assume that with the Chronos, you should have used the Chronos well to be able to switch on the light. I say, So that's how sometimes they say, a fool at 40. Think he's coming now? He's a fool forever because what did you use this for? What did you use? I was just around. You can't just be around. Don't tell me you don't know how to do this. Because the opportunity was there. When the time is, where the time is, the opportunity is there. So, when Paul says, redeeming the time, then he says, because the days, emeras, which is the period, they are evil. Evil, the word poneros, I said it on Sunday, is not necessarily harmful. It also includes harmful, but it just means unstable. All right? They may not have a use particularly. So we are to redeem our opportunities, which means I'm supposed to place value on the opportunity that time affords me. To put value. And I want you to put value on time. Put value on opportunities. Put value on it. Value opportunities. The same way God redeemed us from sin and redeemed us from the devil, you are supposed to redeem the time from waste. Which means, watch me, on its own, time is subject to waste. If you don't know how to use time, time will be wasted. It will just go unused. It will go. And it will happen just everywhere, about anything. Anything you do. Hallelujah. Remember someone I know very well. Yeah, I've been doing badly in school. Before I end the story, before I continue the story, he's a professor, well, he's a lecturer today in America. But when I, this story I'm about to say, he was meant to be in the SS2. He was taken back to GSS1. So he said to me, he even reminded me of that, this particular story last year. He said, you were the one who spoke to me. Because we were age mates. So we are age mates, not we were. So he said to me, he said, you told me not to worry. That if I use the time well, the gap, because I was going to, I think SS2, he was supposed to go to, so he was taken back to GSS1 or so. So he was really feeling bad. I said, well, depends on how you use the time. That in the next 4 years, you'll be in the university. And when you're in university and you graduate, you can take on your master's. When you take your master's, you can do other things. That nobody would know that you had to go 3 years back. I said, but if you mourn over this, he was one that reminded me, it was very early in the morning. We were talking about other things. He said, can't you remember? I said, I cannot remember. So he broke it down. So he said, no, that day you called me. He told me the school he went back to and I had to call him. I said, well, I can't even remember. I said, you were the one who told me that whether you use the time well or not, you will still be that age. So we say, by that time, I'll have been 26. Well, if you do nothing until you'll be 26. Today is a lecturer. Not in Nigeria. You know, because he simply used the period well. So, I thought I would have been this one. Now, the time you have in your hands, the period, save it. Rescue it from waste. And I want to teach you in this service and the services how to use your wristwatch. Wristwatch is not for designer. Some of you wear wristwatch, you don't look at it. It's people that look at it for you. What's this one? Oh, Raymond Kakakanka. Wow, how much is it? My boyfriend gave me. It was a special gift from my husband. My wife gave me, and he said, and then the same you with a wristwatch of $10,000. 4 o'clock appointment, you are there by 6. Please help me. What is the wristwatch for? You have a wristwatch, you don't look at it. You say, it's 4 o'clock. It's 4 o'clock. Somebody is telling you it's 4 o'clock. I have a wristwatch on your hands. That is a sinful life. Because the Bible says redeeming what? You are preaching. They need to tell you. Now, the people are mischievous. They can do when... But I learned... I took over a pastorate. This is 26 years this year. I was meant to just pastor it for a few months. So, I wasn't used to preaching and having limits. Unknown to me, when I got in, they used to pay for a hall. And that hall, by 12 o'clock, they clock it another day. So we'll flow with the Spirit. And flow beyond 12. So the end of the month, they now brought the bill. I said, what is it? He said, Pastor, you know, our Holy Ghost meetings. So the other one said, Pastor, not you. So that was what taught me to be looking at my watch. Because of money. Praise the Lord. I just done it again. Someone said, you look at this so many times. Yes. Because I don't want to waste it. Praise the Lord. So you have to change. I said, wow. So my teaching had, I knew they were still coming back next week. Didn't I see you on Sunday? Why would I preach everlasting gospel? Except WCC. Even that one, we didn't get to the point. Hallelujah. Don't say, I wish we are just here to, someone say, I wish you don't leave this place. I'm going. I think it was Believer's Convention. I wish you cannot leave. You can stay. Pay for a room. Those who build this place, they don't stay here. You want to stay. So I value time. Also value time with people. We're going to look at it bit by bit, okay? I want you to be a people who value time at work, okay? When I'm talking to them at my office, they'll say, we're going to do this. I ask them, what is the timeline? How can you just do something that has no timeline? Imagine you go to the university and they say, no number of years of study. So you are going to become an engineer. Say, when? Hey, just be staying. So when are we going to, just let's continue. You get your degree. You just be coming. Hallelujah. Just be coming. There has to be a timeline. Praise the Lord. redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. So we must therefore see periods as opportunities. And different opportunities. We must redeem opportunities from a period. What can I use this time for? What can I use it for? You know, I couldn't wait till January 2nd. By January 2nd, I had called my staff, we're already talking. Oh boy, we have resumed though. Those of you who are bankers, your computer doesn't go on holiday. You keep counting the money. Did they not debit you on the 31st? They will debit you. End of year charge. I was really, look, let's start work. Ha! Praise the Lord. My. I just enjoy it. I mean, see, eating food of Christmas Day, January 2nd. Where were we? Redeeming the time. So there's a time. And so, you must know how to use time. The way to use time is to redeem opportunities. Redeeming opportunities. Because if you don't know how to use time, opportunities will waste. You will lose opportunities. You will lose opportunities. So listen now. Kairos, which is what Ephesians 5:16 is saying. Kairos actually is moments. A moment. Which means a time within the time. So I put it somewhere here. I say, which means therefore that time opportunities are in danger. They need rescue. We must consciously rescue opportunities from time. From the period that we're in. Rescue opportunities. For us as a church, we've prayed. And we ask ourselves, what is left for us to do? What is the thing that God's Spirit wants us to emphasize? What are the things that, you know, we're supposed to work on? So we can just say, this is our time to establish new believers. You know why? Because we found out that a lot of people are getting born again, they're not established. So we want to use the year to establish new believers. So doing that gives time a purpose. Now the instance is also where the Spirit of God will point your attention to it. So when you see people who are sound doctrine, what people say, I don't believe in time. Someone say, I don't believe in time. Is it time for all things? Just go and sit down. You know, if you're a pastor, you will know, just like Revelation, the book of Revelation, Jesus had different things he said to different churches, which means at that time, there was what was lacking in the churches. Just like Paul's letters to all the churches, there was what was lacking. So time is the opportunity within time. I mean, yeah, the time here is the opportunity within the period. What do I use it for? So when I redeem the time, I will have a header or heading for a period. This is the time to equip myself. This is the time to get, looking at my performance last year at work, I need to get more certifications. I found out that, you know, my skills in setting up a new business, you know, I found out there was something missing. So right now, what's the time? The time is to get those skills. Don't say, well, that's how God wanted it. You know, that's how it is. A man scored third class in the University of Ibadan. Third class. And for many reasons for that. One of them was he had to go work to go to school, so he missed most of the classes. This was many years ago. So, he now found out they were writing a scholarship exam. So he went to the professor. He said, "Sir, I can prove to you that I'm actually better than those grades." He said, "Let me write this exam." I think he worked for the man. The man said, "Well, I've seen you. You're very diligent and intelligent." All right. So he wrote that exam and he was the best. So from there, he went to United Kingdom and didn't leave United Kingdom till he became a PhD holder. So all his mates were shocked. He went to the US and also had a postdoctoral fellowship with Rockefeller. Came back to Nigeria a couple of years, became a professor. One, and today is on the list of the who is who in medicine in the world. What did he do? He redeemed the time. That's all. You can redeem it. But you could just say, you know, some just, you know, assuming that my father had money, I would not have been selling and buying. I wish. E.W. Kenyon in the book, Signposts to the Road of Success, he said, remove the if and face it. You know, people are like, the man simply took the exam. Said, I can do it. I remember one time I was in my office. I'm preaching the gospel, but I'll talk about this. I was in my office and we had a rough patch. I think 3 months we didn't have sales. So me and my partner, that's the time we start sharing the word a lot. About the call of God upon our lives. So that day, I just got a call from one of my mentors. He said, "Shaku, how are you?" I said, "Fine." He said, "Can you construct road?" Now I had a mentor who told me everything, say yes. He said, "Because if you can't do it, somebody will be able to do it. You go and get the person." I said, "Oh yes, sir." He said, "Meet me now." I just, wait a minute. But on my way, I'd called like 4 people. So we landed with the engineer. He thought they were in my company. And I said, "Let's go." I just took engineer. I called the engineer. I have a job. Maybe they're also waiting for moments. So we just got there. And I was like saying, yes. The man said, "You signed the check right there. Right there. It's the money we use for a convention. Right there." He said, my boy, quickly. I said, "Yes, sir." He said, how long can this person walk?" I said, look at the guy. He said, I said, "We'll do it in 3 days." He said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yes, sir." But I didn't go back home. I was coming, resuming there morning till night. Doing all my brain tongues there. I seized the moment. They'll say, I know somebody. Sir. No, I'm a lawyer, sir. I thought I told you. Go and check all the billionaires in the world. Does their career match their degree? The people that own the biggest hospitals are not doctors. Those who have the richest banks in the world are not bankers. Maybe their first degree is sociology. Zoology. Are you there? So I learned to redeem the time. Don't be a lazy person. Is that okay? I've not even gotten to that one yet. Let's keep moving. In Matthew 8:29, which means there's a time for things. Matthew 8:29. He said, "Why have you come either to torment us before the time?" That's the demons. They said before the time. This is not the time. This is not the opportunity. What? In Matthew 13, In the parable of the sower, Jesus, in verse 30, he said, the let both grow together until the harvest. And the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, there is a time for the harvest. Which means there is an opportunity to harvest. Harvest is not a confession. Harvest is a product of your actions. It's your actions that create the opportunity for harvest. Are you there? Matthew 16 and verse 3. When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather. When the sky is red. Verse 3 says, in the morning, it will be foul weather today. For the sky is red and low. And oh, hypocrites, you discern the face of the sky. But you cannot discern the signs of times. Can't you see what's going on? The signs of times. He said you can tell it's morning, it's afternoon, it's evening, it's winter, it's summer. But you cannot tell what God is doing. What is this opportunity for God? Can you tell? Hallelujah. We're going to pray not to waste time in our lives. In the ministry, you must not waste time. Some people today, they will have wasted an opportunity. They will not be going to pray for weeks, hoping that that opportunity comes again. That's why I've always told you, never think that it's in your hands. It's not. So you can't know the signs. There are signs of times. And Jesus used every day. Every day. That's when you get to someone's house at 2 p.m. and you are hearing him snoring from the gate. You say, Oga, did you lose your job? Or are you sick? But you cannot wonder that someone is sleeping if it's 12 midnight. Which means, even though it's a period, each time seems to have its own season. What is the opportunity for? Jesus said, you walk while it is day. The night will come, no one will walk. He's talking about times and seasons. Look at this. Matthew 21 again and verse 34. Are you hearing this? Are you hearing this, church? Now again, he's talking about a harvest. When the time of the fruit drew near. When the time of the fruit drew near. The time, the harvest. Matthew 24 and 45. Look at this one and pay attention to it. Forty-four says, therefore be ye also ready, for it's such an hour as you do not think the Son of Man cometh. 45, when, who then is a faithful and wise servant? Whom, let's take it together, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give him meat in due season. Matthew 26 and 18. Let's take it together. Go into the city to such a man and say to him, my time is at hand. Jesus is saying, this is my moment. Lift your two hands and say, I know the moments. Pray in the Holy Ghost, I know the moments. I don't lose opportunities. Not in life, not in ministry. Pray in the Spirit. I don't waste time. Not anymore in my life will I waste opportunities. Pray in the Holy Ghost. The time to pray, I will pray. The time to preach, I will preach. The time to talk to the right person, I'll talk to them. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost, come on. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. One more thing we're praying. We're going to pray for restoration of lost times for yourself. You sense that. Pray. Pray for it. Restoration of lost opportunities in every area of your life. Hallelujah. Now sit down. See, I just said to pray because I want you to go home and also pray. Is that okay? Jesus knew his time. That means he recognized the opportunity. Opportunity. Now, opportunity will not put a header on it. You are the one that will redeem it yourself. Opportunity is within the same time. You and I have the same 24 hours. We do. But opportunity is a function of me recognizing it. Hallelujah. Look at this again. Mark's Gospel 1:15. This is Jesus. The time is fulfilled. The opportunity is fulfilled. Why is Jesus saying this? This is a time when the Jews were in exile. When the Roman government was upon them. When the whole place was, they were in, they were in depression, hopelessness. Then he says, this is the opportunity. He recognized it. This time is fulfilled. Mark 13 and verse 13. We saw that earlier. Mark 13 and verse 33, I mean. Take heed, he says, watch and pray. For you know not when the opportunity is. So we're going to talk about this in this series. The things that must be constant. The constants of every season. He says, watch and pray. See, this is not for today, but I'll take it on later. There is no time a Christian must not watch. There's no time. You must keep watching. A Christian, a believer, must always be on guard. There is no season to say, let me sleep a bit. No, spiritually speaking. You must always be on guard. I told you, when I was out of the country, so I was coming back. I missed my flight, actually. So somehow, I came to see him. So I missed my flight by hugging you, we're greeting ourselves and sit down. He knows the year I'm talking about. I was hugging him and he says, you missed the time. Same thing happened to another brother in church. We're hugging ourselves, saying, I miss you. Not knowing that, I've missed something else. So I now had to come. I had to come by on Christmas Day. At Christmas, everybody's playing and all that. So I just noticed that it's Christmas, but all these people are walking. And walking. Did he say because it's Christmas Day, I'll pass through without the security? Oh, come back here. Christmas Day, New Year Day. Come on. Everything was normal. So which means some people count their own work as so essential that they don't go off. They don't say, maybe the president of Nigeria will just say, fellow Nigerians, knowing that it's Christmas Day, everybody should just leave their duty post. As he says that, the TV will go off. Because everybody. No, everybody doesn't go on holiday. If everybody goes on holiday, there will be a worldwide holiday. Unprecedented. So I noticed that. And I said, wow. That means that if I really know what ministry is about, I'll be very conscious during the holiday period. Because my work is just as essential and more than the doctors. Some of you doctors, you went to work on the first. Some of you doctors, you went there. Those of you who were in security, you worked. You had to secure those who were having fun. And those of you who are doctors, you had to treat those whose fun almost killed them. Isn't it true? That's what it is. Satan doesn't declare holiday. All right, demons. For now, guys, let's try and rest. You know what? We're in a hectic year. Let's you go see your families. We'll see the first week of the year. No, he doesn't do that. You church? Matthew 13:33. The time. Luke 1:20. Thou shalt be dumb and not be able to speak. This was talked to say to Zechariah. Until the day that this thing shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, we shall be fulfilled. Oh, I love this. In their season. Look at Luke 4:13. The devil came to tempt Jesus. The Bible says, when he had ended all temptation, he departed from him for another what? Opportunity. So even Satan seeks opportunities. Opportunities. What can I do with this time? This guy is busy sleeping. What can I do? He's busy playing around. He's been watching movies since morning. What can I do with it? He hasn't gone to pray since morning. What can I do with it? He looks for opportunities. In Luke 8:13, Jesus is talking about the parable of the sower. Seed is sown. Then he says, and these have no root, which for a while believe. A while. A season. Luke 8:13, parable of the sower. Luke 12:42. Who is that faithful servant? Well, earlier, he gives a portion of the meat in due season. Look at 56. You know not how to discern the times. Now look at Luke 21 and 36. Luke 21:36. Watch therefore and pray always. The word pray always, man. Pray in all seasons that you may be counted worthy to escape all the things that shall come to pass to stand before the Son of Man. Do you recognize the opportunities to pray? John 7:6. John 7:6. My time is not yet come, but your time is always already. Uses the same word. Look at verse 8. Go on to this feast. I go not up to this feast, for my time is not yet fully come. So Jesus walked with time. Opportunity. Acts 1:7, when they told him, would you not at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said, it's not for you. Acts 1:7, but to know the times and seasons. Verse 7, Acts 1:7. The times and seasons with the Father's put in his own power. Opportunities. Look at Romans 5:6. Romans 5:6. So Christ's death, I'm about to say in a moment, had to do with the opportunity. God, interestingly, seized the opportunity. Romans 5:6. For when we were yet without strength, in the due time, Christ died for the ungodly. In the right season. The right opportunity. Romans 8:18. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, season. Romans 9:9. Romans 11:15, just for future references. Look at Romans 13:11. Let's take that one together. Romans 13:11. You there? Let's go. Knowing, the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer. Oh wow. We must recognize time. We must recognize the opportunity. In Ephesians 1:10, Paul says he brings all the times together, the fullness of times. Ephesians 6:18, the word praying always there in the Greek He's praying at all seasons, at all opportunities. Now, do you recognize the opportunity to pray? Praying at all opportunities. Pray, the word always there is actually praying at opportunities. 4 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Watch this now. Paul says, now the Spirit speaks in these latter times. Opportunity. The sons shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Opportunities. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Perilous opportunities shall come. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come, the opportunities. Notice that opportunities is also used for contrary things. So which means the devil also seizes opportunities. Evil seizes opportunities. The time will come. So, in Hebrews 5:12, we're going to look at how they work together later. Hebrews 5:12, the writer of Hebrews says, for the time when you ought to be teachers. Now, that one is chronos. I said chronos simply means Sunday, Monday. For the period when you ought to be teachers. What was in the mind of this person must have been, I've taught you for 2 years. You ought to be a teacher. The period, the years you ought to be a teacher. You need that someone teach you again. That's what comes from brother. Brother, when did you join this church? 5 years ago. And you are not yet? Why? Because that time ought to have enough opportunity, right? To learn the word and grow with experience. You've been here for how long? Ah, sorry. To the glory of God. Ah! What have you been doing with the time? So in Acts 1:7, you see the fixed time and the opportunities work together. Just like Acts 3:21 and Acts 3:19. Times of refreshing. Kairos. Times, Acts 3:21. Chronos. So watch this now before you write something else. Listen. Which means 2024 is Chronos. 366 days, 12 months, 52 weeks, chronos, the order of things. It works with opportunities. It's in the time that you have the time. Now, what's left for us is to redeem the time from the period. Redeem the opportunities. Or else, the opportunities waste away while we're lazy, while we're laid back, why we fail to recognize, while we're regretting, mourning, grieving, feeling sorry, wishing it was something else. When you're doing that, you are wasting time. Learn the lesson. Time. What if I use it to learn, not cry? What if I use the period to be wiser, not regret? Okay? So, I'm using it positive. Not that, just crying. Use it well. I know a fellow like that. Just lost a parent. A close relative. And he, you know, initially, everybody was like, okay, you're very close to your parent, and so was expected. And then he went, grieved and grieved. He felt he was the one who took care of the person and took care. So everybody felt, we understand. So he really cried and cried. You know, when somebody's crying, everybody's begging, the person, everybody's begging and begging. They give you a special room, you know, just for that period. Then 2 weeks, we buried this person. 3 weeks. 4 weeks. After a while, stop this nonsense. What's this? Do you know, somehow, just lost the time and wasted many things. Over what? Grieving? Feeling sorry? I wish I had done this. I wish I... See, you don't do a wish. So what can you do now? I know. I'm just thinking, I wish I had done this. I wish I had done this. Okay, ignore it. What can you do now? I don't know. You know, that's foolishness. You have to redeem the time. Redeem it. Redeem the opportunities. If you have the chronos, that is, you have the year, you have the opportunities, right? What do you use it for? What would you use it for? Acts 1:21. They said, who are we going to take to replace Judas? One who was with us at all times. The word there is not chronos. It's the word kairos. All opportunities. Well, how is it? How did it become a selection? Because he used the opportunity well. I'm sure Matthias didn't know that Jesus was going to die. I'm sure he didn't know that Judas was going to betray him. But you know what? Whatever he did with the time, the harvest came later. Use it well. Don't waste it. Don't waste opportunities. Don't waste opportunities. I'm going to get on this later. Moaning, bemoaning situations, crying over spilled milk. Learn to know when to stop crying. God said to Samuel, why are you laughing? Why are you crying? I have another king, I beg. Who has time for this? Sometimes we waste time on things. Have another king. He was emotionally attached to Saul. Saul was emotionally attached. Saul said, another king in the house of Jesse. Okay. So why you, what's all this? Sometimes we waste time. Doing the wrong thing. Nation of Israel, where before the Red Sea, and he said, Moses said, stand still, and I'll wait the salvation of the Lord. What are you waiting for? What are you crying to me for? This is the wrong action. Stretch forth the hand, the rod, and part the sea. Imagine if you didn't hear that. They'll have been sitting there praying and praying, saying they have bodies in prayer till they are all killed. And the answer was right there in their hearts. Use time well. Don't do the right thing at the wrong time, or the wrong thing at the right time, if that happens at all. As we are going to see, look at 2 Kings 5:26. What did Elisha say to Gehazi? Do you think it's the time for offering? We're going to look at that. You have the leading of the Spirit. This is not the time for this. Is this the time for offering? It's not that Elisha wasn't taking offerings. He was, but that wasn't the time. So there are times. Has seasons. And like I said on Sunday, times and seasons. Why do we have times and seasons? Because of man. God has had to work with man. Man is God's method. And God saw Genesis chapter 6 verse 5. I showed you that day. And he said, look, the whole earth is filled with wickedness. Verse 11 and 12. Corrupt his ways upon the face of the earth. Genesis 8:21. Look at it quickly. The Lord smelled the sweet savor. I told you that word there, smell, is the same way you have the word ruach, spirit. Okay, that's the spirit of God. And the word sweet savor there has to do with rest, resting place. So God found a rest place in man's worship. Now, and he said, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore every living thing that I have done. which means I'll have to work with what I have. What do I have? And if in case you want to know what happened, in the same chapter 9, Noah fell drunk. His son went to have sex with his mother. Just as bad. And God said, look at this, verse 22, Genesis chapter 8, while this earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Which means you can't have the same thing all the time. You must know how to redeem opportunity. You know opportunity, what it is? Have you tried to register for something? And they say they will open it by so and so time. Then you get on it. Sometimes you even sleep, you are waiting. You say, well, they've opened the portal. What if you say, look, I'm tired. Let's just keep it open. By 6, I'll do it. You must be very stupid. No, there's a time for it. Why is it so? Because of man. Man is God's method, and man is not stable, just like you. And if that is so, I must know how to recognize the opportunity. So I will know how to work. Now put this down quickly. Day and night will have to work together. Cold and heat will have to work together. Summer and winter will have to work together. Seed time and harvest. Which means that I must know how to use every season right. They have to work together. So, because of this, I hope I'll get on this more later, time needs redemption. Seeing that time is just as faulty as man. If man is to be redeemed, time needs to be redeemed. I must know how to redeem time. Watch this. You know, God spoke to Noah about days. He spoke to Abraham about 400 years. He spoke to Moses about the length of a journey. Jesus spoke to his disciples about time. So which means that it's not in all times, but God does talk to us about days. I want you to pray for 10 days. I want you to go there for 10 days, 5 days, 2 years. Well, God does not live in time. Oh, what does God live in? God lives in our time. He walks with us. And because we live in time, he does too. Jesus spoke to his disciples. He knew exactly what was going to happen. They waited in Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost was the day. They knew the day. He spoke to them. We must therefore know that because man lives in time, God will walk with it. So, God seizes opportunity because he has brought himself down to that level to walk with us at our lowest levels. He will walk with time. He will walk with it. That's why Hezekiah could tell him, if I'm dead, no one will praise you. That's simple. He said, if I'm gone, the grave cannot praise you. Because the grave means I'm not around. Say, okay, prophet, go back and tell him 15 more years. 15 more years, specifically. So we mustn't waste days. Don't do it. Never allow a day to pass without living it purposefully. Psalm 90 and 12. You learning something? Psalm 90 and 12 says, teach us to number our days so we can apply our hearts to wisdom. The word number is the word manah, M-A-N-A-H. It means to give accounts. Look at me, guys. Learn to take record of what you did in a day. Start now. Because God's going to ask you, what did you do today? What are you doing tomorrow? Take records. And that means that, does it mean that punctuality is spiritual? I don't think I heard you. Can I hear you again? Is punctuality spiritual? Spiritual to be punctual. To be faithful with time. Be faithful. God has given us time to be faithful with it, to use it wisely. Teach us to number our days. So we apply our hearts to wisdom, to number it. It's not just for birthday party. Teach us to number our days. So we apply our hearts to wisdom. The word days there is also used for opportunities. Psalm 147, I think, yeah? And verse 4. He tells the number of the stars. He calls them by name. He gives account of them. It means to use it wisely. To use it wisely. Paul says, redeem the time. Save it. Don't waste time. Don't waste it. Don't say, maybe next week. And maybe, you know, no. Use today well. Praise the Lord. Paul says to pray without ceasing. To pray always. Which means we don't postpone prayer, right? No, we don't. They don't say, well, I'm not praying now. I'm praying. No, there's nothing like I'm not praying now. Pray at all seasons. Pray without ceasing. So we look at what are the constants. Opportunities are within the time frame of life. When a man is gone, there are no more opportunities for him. Opportunities are only available within the time frame. 366 days, 365 days, 30 days or 31 days a month, 24 hours a day. So I must be faithful with the time. So I'm going to ask you, are we going to give account of time? Are we going to give account of January 2024? What about the whole of 2023? Huh? Yes, we are. They're going to give account of it. How did you use it? It says to redeem the time. Save it. Because if you don't save the time, it will be lost. It will be lost like someone went to hell. Redeem it. Redeem it. I'm going to see one of the things Paul said about time. Time. Use it well. A Christian must live life with a sense of urgency. There's a sense of urgency. The sense of urgency. You see it in the church in the book of Acts. There's a sense of urgency. They spoke to them about God judging them, even concerning their career, like it was going to happen the next day. A sense of urgency. Don't do things and waste time. Don't say, it's my nature. It's a useless nature. It's a sinful nature. I'm not saying you should be in a hurry and run. Mm-mm. A sense of urgency and running in a hurry, they're different things. Doing things, knowing that you're going to give accounts, knowing that, look, this thing mustn't waste. A sense of urgency. A new year started. Don't say, yeah, it doesn't matter. It does. Because there are opportunities this year to fulfill the will of God in your life. To help people, to bless people. To also be blessed by people. Opportunities to grow, right? It won't always come. Because if you waste it, it's gone. Hallelujah. Don't waste it. A man told us a story how he went to a school. God sent him to go and have a master's degree. The Lord said to him that there's someone who is in that program, that he's going to leave after the program and never return to Nigeria again. But I've asked you to meet him because he will be a missionary to a particular country, to certain people in that nation. And God didn't tell him who he was, who it was. So he began to pray. He went to have the program for that purpose. We don't longer hear those testimonies like that again. And he went. About the end of the program, he met the fellow. Guy received salvation. He got saved and left. And that was it. Imagine if he didn't preach to the fellow. Imagine if he got tired. You know. Imagine. All of us are here today saved because people didn't waste the opportunity. That's why you are born again. Imagine the person that's supposed to preach the gospel to you was singing or had to attend to a family problem. You know, and somebody had to do. So we're going to look at priorities. Learn not to waste time. And I'm saying not just about the work of the ministry, about spiritual growth. But we tell you, don't worry, sir. Let me just use this time for this period. In the next 2-3 years, when I balance, I'll study very well. I'll start to pray very well. What they have done, the time is gone. Gone. Paul says, walk circumspectly, carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We'll continue from here next week. Let's just pray for ourselves. What do you sense you should pray about? Pray for yourself.